This is serious, Tinnituviel said. You need to do something. Mordak nodded.
Yeah, right, he mumbled. Soon as I've got 5 minutes.
She had a wonderful knack of choosing her moments. He'd climbed all the way up to the top of the dark pinnacle in the hope of having 5 minutes' peace so he could really think things through. And suddenly there she was, nagging, telling him to do something. And the trouble was, when she was in this mood, she simply wouldn't take yes for an answer. You should have seen the stuff they've got there, she went on. Amazing!
Jolly good. I mean, well done.
Which is bizarre, she went on, because they're primitives. Just like other humans, maybe worse. I mean, they cook outside over an open fire, so obviously concepts like chimneys are way too advanced for them. But in other respects, they're quite terrifyingly advanced.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. You should see their weapons.
The W word snagged his attention.
Weapons? Never seen anything like it.
Spears? Swords? Axes?
She was frowning. He called them clubs, she said. But they looked like a sort of precision poleaxe to me, cross between a poleaxe and a halberd, but without the spike. Nasty piece of work. I would guess you need a lot of skill to use it, but the damage it could do.
Without the spike.
But with a really carefully contoured slanting blade. He started to explain, but it was a bit technical. Impact velocities and mass transfers. They obviously take it very seriously.
Mordak looked at her.
You did say, he conceded. If they can make a superior egg whisk, they might well have superior weapons.
And I was right. But that's just for starters. Mordak, I'm worried.
The admission, and the use of his actual name, correctly pronounced, made him sit up straight.
What?
She came a bit closer and lowered her voice a little. I think they may have one of the lost stones.
He whistled softly.
You're kidding.
She glowered at him. It's not something to joke about, she said. If I'm right, and they've got hold of one of the stones of Snawdor, there's no knowing.
Calm down, Mordak said. Let's not jump to conclusions. What makes you think it's one of the nine?
She took a deep breath. I had a good look at it.
And?
Well, she said, what do we actually know about the nine?
Me? Practically nothing.
His face went blank.
Look, we were told, the nine came up in last year's exam, and the year before that. It won't be in this year's, you can bet.
So I skipped that chapter and concentrated on the Black Breath, which did come up, and I got 97%.
What?
She clicked her tongue so sharply it made his eyes water. All right, she said, since you've been honest and courageous enough to confess your ignorance, I'll fill you in. The nine lost scrying stones came across the sea in the white ships from Scooby-Dooby-Dorian. Before the fall. Made by the hand of Glondell himself.
Yes, I know all that, Mordak interrupted. I'm not stupid.
Made by the hand of Glondell himself. Maybe she had wax in her ears. The stones will show you what was, what is, and what is yet to come. Though they are perilous and seek to lead the foolish to their doom. Nine there were, but five have fallen into shadow. Two, the dragons consumed, One stands in the hall of the Woodland King in Saras Mithron, and one...
Mordak nodded.
I know, he said.
Upstairs.
Doesn't bloody work.
She sighed. That's because 7 of the 9 are lost and out of communion, and the 8th is hidden from you. There is nothing for your stone to talk to. But if one of the 5 that were lost has been found, she shrugged. What concerns me more is what the humans use it for.
I'm guessing you asked. Oh yes, she shivered. The human said that the she-human talks to home through it.
She paused. Through a screen of glass. Mordak waited, then said,
That's significant, isn't it?
Nod. If you could have been bothered to read the chapter in your book, even though it wasn't likely to come up in the exam, you'd have learned that after the fall, between the Hidden Realms and Scooby-Dooby-Dory and the Golden, the Irasse raised a screen of glass, invisible but impenetrable, so that seafarers might cast their eyes on the Golden Land, but never, ever reach there.
That's just mean, Mordak said.
The she-human, Tinnatuvial went on, speaks to her family and friends in a faraway land through a screen of glass. If I were you, I'd put your helmet on at this point.
Obediently, Mordak reached for it.
Why? So that when the penny eventually drops, it won't knock your brains out through your ears. Faraway land, screen of glass. Oh, come on.
Mordak put the helmet back under the throne.
Yes, I see what you're getting at. You think these idiots come from Scooby, what's his face? Maybe they do. What about it?
She was counting under her breath. She did that a lot. Let me guess, she said. The prophecies were in the previous year's paper too.
Not even on the syllabus, Mordak replied. Lot of elvish nonsense.
Well, aren't they?
I don't know why I bother with you.
Money, Mordak replied succinctly. So, there's a prophecy then.
Yes, there's a prophecy. When the children of Fluor leave the Golden Land and pass through the gate of flour and eggs, then shall the realms be plunged in darkness, and the Nameless One will arise.
What Nameless One?
I don't know, do I? He's nameless.
Anyway, that's what it says. As you would know if you were even semi-literate.
And that's why I'm worried, all right?
Mordak took a moment to think about it.
But surely that's all fine and good as far as we're concerned. All the realms plunged in darkness. That's what we want, surely. I'm the Dark Lord, remember?
We're the bad guys.
And when the Nameless One arises, you'll just meekly hand him over the keys and retire to the seaside, presumably. And of course, he'll let you.
Quite. You see, I do have your best interests at heart.
I have no idea why. So if you want your head to stay on your shoulders rather than on a hook in the crockery cupboard,
I suggest you start worrying. Hard.
Mordak scowled at her.
Oh, come now, he said. It's just a prophecy.
Just
another elvish prophecy. Like Reluctant Hero for the Snowdor Derby. That one cost me 160 zlotl that I'll never see again.
So please don't give me all that infallible wisdom stuff.
That wasn't a prophecy, she said coldly. It was a prediction. And I would venture to suggest that there's rather more at stake this time than a handful of coins. I mean, we could be looking at the ultimate victory of evil.
But like I said, real evil. Not your peely-wally, alternative, tree-hugging, bleeding-heart, new evil. The genuine article. And I don't think either of us wants that.
Let her have the last word, he told himself. It might mean she'll go away.
He was right about that. And after she'd gone, he was able to get back to his thinking.
Peely-wally, bleeding heart.
The hell with that.
Yes, he was right behind bleeding hearts, 100%, especially if they were still beating as he ripped them from the ribcages of his mortal enemies. Not, he had to admit, that he'd done an awful lot of that lately. It's always the way. You get bogged down in admin and paperwork, and quite soon you've lost sight of what it was you originally went into the profession for. But all this drivel about nameless ones was just elvish scaremongering, surely. Besides, there's no such thing as a foregone conclusion in the fight game. That much he knew from long experience. A phantom rival with no name was one thing. But it'd take a phantom rival with no name and a very large contingent of heavy infantry to get him seriously concerned. And besides, even if we lose, we're used to that. It's what we do. Which brought him back full circle. New evil, and the monstrous creature currently plaiting its hair into braids down in the dungeons.
Damn, he thought. Why has everything always got to be so difficult?
It took him an hour to find what he was looking for down in the Black Vault, where even the Wraith Lords are reluctant to go. An old, battered trunk with 5 massive padlocks, the keys to which he no longer had, it went without saying. Half an hour with an axe that would never be much use for anything again, and he had the trunk open. He lifted the lid and couldn't help smiling. He'd put the trunk in the Black Vault because he didn't want anyone to find it, not ever. The goblins would laugh at him. Tinituvial would say it was just a load of old junk and throw it away, but to him, these were treasures way beyond gold and gemstones, magic weapons or rings of power.
Hello, he said. Long time no see.
Reverently, using only the tips of his claws, he lifted out a small, crumpled shape. The years hadn't been kind to Willy the werewolf. Most of his stuffing was gone, and he was missing one of his button eyes. But that was all right. Sarah Spider wasn't much better off. If she was real, she'd be scuttling with a distinct limp, and she could definitely do with a decent meal or two. But they were still there, that was the point. He put them gently back on their bed of straw and carried on looking.
Ah!
He took out a crumbling book and opened it at the flyleaf. Mordak, Form 4B. If this book should dare to roam, box its ears and send it home. There were other books. The Black Library was full of the things, shelf upon shelf of uniform editions, with the dark book plate pasted inside every front cover. But none he trusted like this one. He sat down, cross-legged on the floor, looked up prophecies, elvish, in the index, and began to read.